You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hi, everyone. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to Horsemanship Radio. We're so glad that you've joined us for a truly special episode. Today, we're kicking off our new series. It's a monthly reading of Monty Roberts's beloved book, Horse Sense for People, where we'll delve into one chapter together each month. And this incredible book dives into Monty's unique philosophy of nonviolence and communication. That's showing how his revolutionary techniques with horses can be applied to human relationships and business and even personal growth. We wanted to bring his amazing stories and invaluable lessons from beyond the paywall, offering them freely for everyone to find inspiration and to preserve their timeless wisdom. You can catch Horsemanship Radio on the 1st and the 15th of every month, and we're thrilled to have you with us on this new journey.
I was born in 1935 to parents who were in the horse business. My father was a trainer and riding instructor who had an agreement with the city of Salinas, California, to manage its competition grounds. This was a large equestrian facility and home to one of the major rodeos in the United States. I was up on a horse with my mother shortly after my birth and was in competition when I was 4 years of age. Traditional trainers work on the principle, you do what I tell you to, or I'll hurt you. As I grew up, I came to the conclusion that it is far more effective to wait for the horses to do something right and reward them. I began to experiment with training techniques that disciplined the horse by putting it to work, never by applying force. I refused to inflict pain of any kind. I believed that horses, these wonderful flight animals with no agenda to cause harm to anyone, could teach us that violence is never the answer. Throughout my career, horses have been my allies. They have done the talking for me. Champion after champion came my way, both in the show ring and on the racetracks of the world. Pat and I raised 3 biological children and dozens of foster children. They educated me further in the concepts that horses were so freely, by their example, communicating. I've spent many years now working with horses to communicate those same concepts to people, as individuals, in the family, and in the workplace. On tour, I do demonstrations of my work using horses I've never seen before. At these events, I sign books and answer questions for attendees. One of the most frequent requests has been that I should produce a book that relates my concepts to humans. This book is my attempt to answer the call of literally millions of people around the world to extend the concepts of join up and nonviolence to people. Fundamental to what I call join up is an early recognition that the horse must always be allowed the freedom to choose whether or not he will cooperate. This requires a nonviolent method of communication so as to establish a partnership with the horse. It seemed to me, as I watched my father and other traditional trainers work, that their entire focus was on telling the horse that he had no choice. Pain is not a choice any healthy being makes, and inflicting pain forces the horse to understand that absolute obedience is the only choice. Pain can achieve obedience and compliance, but I believe that compliance alone is not sufficient for outstanding performance. Blind obedience is not pleasurable, nor does it produce a sense of accomplishment. This idea of choice is one of the root principles of my work. No one has the right to say, you must, or I'll hurt you, to any other creature, animal or human. These concepts of nonviolence, respect, and choice are equally important and can be equally effective in the human arena. Join up allows us to see and understand that violence and confrontation are never the answer. When observing, for example, how organizations often recruit and train new employees, I often see similarities to the traditional method of breaking a horse. We need to realize that a harmonious partnership in the workplace, in the family, and any other social context is far more productive than one of force and intimidation. When it comes to the crucial question of choice, there is yet another similarity between human-to-horse partnerships and human-to-human partnerships. If I have been at all successful, I must attribute much of the credit to my early recognition that when we partner with a horse, we are asking him to do things that are threatening and against his very nature. To saddle a horse, for example, is to provoke that sense that he's being attacked by a predator. And this leads him to act in self-defense. To inflict pain for behavior that is a natural response simply confirms the horse's fears. Yet books on traditional horsemanship consistently recommend whipping the horse when it acts out against its first saddle. I realized that I had to communicate to the horses that they could trust me, and I had to earn that trust. I found time and again that I could cause a horse to discover the joys of working together, all without coercion and pain. Let's face it, in most work situations, we are asking humans to make choices that are equally unnatural, equally threatening. Considerable conditioning is required before we can live by a regimented schedule or sit and perform repetitive motions for long periods of time. It's not natural to follow a rigid set of rules and guidelines and to have our security and future in the hands of people we don't even know or perhaps even like. This is not what the human body and mind are naturally equipped to do. Many of the behaviors employers resent in employees are simply the result of natural resistance to unnatural conditions. One of the goals in Horse Sense for People is to create, through communication and behavior, situations where the satisfaction of cooperation outweighs the negative reaction to unnatural conditions. Humans can either be fight or flight animals. Because of our makeup, we are constantly deciding whether we are predator or prey, whether flight or confrontation is the most prudent course. This dynamic is ever present in both our personal lives and in the workplace. We usually don't have to fear being eaten, but we face many other threats. An easy way to test this is to observe our physical and emotional reaction the next time we're told unexpectedly that the boss wants to see us in his office. You are likely to find yourself immediately in fight-or-flight mode. This response has long been understood in the study of human stress. By providing a third alternative, i.e. partnership, my concepts create a way out of this dilemma. At first glance, what I do with a horse in the round pen may seem miles away from the complex interactions between people. But the parallels are much closer than most people think and encompass a full gamut of human existence. There is a constant struggle between the need to be an individual and the need to belong to a group. Both needs are natural and healthy, but the struggle between them is at the heart of much of the difficulty of organizational, family, and social life.
Tired of juggling brushes, curry combs, and shedding blades? Say hello to Hands-On Gloves, the all-in-one grooming solution horse lovers swear by. Whether you're currying out winter coats, giving a deep massage, or rinsing down after a ride, Hands-On Gloves fit like, yeah, a glove. And they turn grooming time into bonding time. They're flexible, durable, and they stay on your hands, wet or dry, so your horse stays calm and you stay in control. No slipping, no dropping, no kidding. Groom, bathe, and de-shed all with your hands. Visit handsongloves.com today and feel the difference. Your horse will thank you. If you can't come take a class in person, Monty Roberts Online University brings the classroom to you. With over 800 video lessons, Monty teaches you his world-renowned methods. Join up, trailer loading, starting young horses, and solving behavioral challenges, all without violence. Named one of Horse and Hound magazine's top 50 horsemen of all time, Monty shares a lifetime of experience to help you build trust and partnership with your horse. Join the thousands around the world who are transforming their horsemanship, one gentle lesson at a time. Visit MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Because if you listen to your horse will listen to you.
We want to be an individual, but we resist being isolated. Our relationship and commitment to work is a constantly moving tension between engagement and disengagement. Experiences either draw us in or push us away. They either create resistance, which results in fighting or fleeing, or they create commitment and collaboration. I could easily have written two books, one relating what I've learned from horses and applying it to life in the workplace and management practices, and another book on how those lessons shed light on personal and family relationships. But ultimately, I suppose we live one life. Our lives aren't separated off into 9 to 5 or 5 to 9. We carry the emotional baggage of the one to the other. I want to stress that what we are in one flows straight into the other. And although too many of us are now apt to forget it, 5 to 9 is just as important as 9 to 5. If our relationships with our husbands or wives, our parents or children are fractured and unsatisfactory, of course we carry those worries and problems through the working day. And we all know we take the dissatisfaction and anger of the day home at night. While the violence dealt out by man to horses is largely physical violence, human beings have many ways of exhibiting violence, which can be as harmful and pernicious. Verbal abuse may involve belittling, dismissiveness, or threats, and can be just as crippling to the human spirit. Human beings too often use physical violence, but verbal abuse is also a common tool of those in positions of authority, parents or employers, for example. There is a potential danger of violence whenever a relationship involves a dominant partner and a weaker partner, whether in emotional family situations or in the workplace. Such dominance can be one of physical power, gender, age, social position, work hierarchy, wealth, or race. But wherever it is found, it all comes down to one human being saying, "You must," to another. By acknowledging the power of people to choose, and by learning to communicate without coercion, the principles of join-up provides a way to resolve tension and struggle. By presenting the invitation and by freely allowing people to make choices, we honor them and allow them to fulfill themselves. We honor both needs. There is, however, one striking difference between human-to-horse and human-to-human join-up. It concerns the difference between compliance and commitment by choice. When I work with horses, I ask them to make choices about cooperation, whether or not to be saddled and ridden, for example. When our work is finished, the horse is essentially free of the responsibilities and commitment that I ask of him. But for an organization to be successful, we depend on groups of people making the right choices, even when they're on their own. Just as we also depend on our children learning to make the right choices when they're on their own. As a person sits in his or her cubicle or office, or works on the line or in the field, it is his or her right to decide how much energy to put forth, how much brain power to engage, or how much attention to pay to detail. The difference between compliance and commitment is the difference between making the choice to do just enough to get by and doing enough to excel. I, at my most optimistic, was hardly prepared for the level of interest that my ideas would generate outside the horse world. Among those who attend my demonstrations or visit Flag Is Up Farms are a significant number of executives, business consultants, and leaders from major institutions. In working with these leaders, I have discovered an almost unbelievable hunger for better ways to work together. There seems to be a tide of change sweeping through the world of human institutions that's touching everyone. When my horse trainer father attempted to impress upon me as a small boy that horses are dangerous machines, he could easily have been a CEO saying the same thing about his workforce. The idea that horses are wild, obstinate beasts that must be broken into submission is remarkably similar to the way managers have regarded workers over the years, often as the enemy. to be kept under control at all times, or as expendable parts of a machine. Slowly we are coming to realize that such treatment of humans is archaic and counterproductive. Similarly, there's a growing acceptance in the world that horses will not intentionally hurt you unless you hurt them first. They deserve respect and gentleness and will respond more effectively without violence. The corporate world is slowly confirming that humans want to make a significant contribution in their collaborative endeavors. People want to be good, and if treated with respect, will rise to levels of performance beyond that which they themselves thought possible. Based on my observations and conversations with leaders, consultants, and human resource professionals, I believe that JoinUp has stimulated interest because it is in many ways the logical and full extension of this change in attitude. What I offer in human-to-horse join-up is a disciplined but gentle approach to obtaining willing cooperation, which gives profound respect to the other. Join-up brings to the table the very real possibility that we can banish the notion of domination and the resulting subservience. I've been tempted over and over again to create a book that repeats these statements. Violence is never the answer. Violence is always for the violator and never for the victim. It is my belief that no one of us was born with the right to say, "You must or I'll hurt you," to any other creature, animal or human. Naturally, such a work like that would not be very well received, so I've held myself back. The truth is, however, that if I could cause every listener to understand, believe in, and act on these 41 words, it would be, in my opinion, one of the most important books ever recorded. I could easily expand this message by adding two words, choice and trust. If we give everyone we come in contact with the freedom to choose an outcome, while encouraging him to be aware of his responsibilities, then he will learn to make better choices. If we earn trust and accept our responsibilities, then we take a giant step toward creating successful relationships. Removing responsibility and tightening control directly reduce the learning process. If we trust others because we have caused them to trust us, we have completed the circle necessary for exemplary communication.
If today's conversation resonated with you, know that this is just the beginning. You can dive even deeper into Monty's world through our online university. Explore upcoming events and discover a wealth of other valuable resources. Just visit MontyRobertsUniversity.com/library to start your journey.